Well, you know, ever since TV was invented, or really photographs were widely available, it's the tallest candidate who's always won. Because, you know, everybody's just so good at political philosophy. It's the tallest candidate who's always won. And it's generally the candidate with the most hair. Now, 90% of guys, when they get old enough to be president, are losing hair. So you're down to the tallest guys with the most hair. You're down to like 1 or 2% of the population. So, yeah. Except for 2020. Well, I mean, that's... I mean, you know what happened with Hunter Biden's laptop story and all of that, so you can draw your own conclusions about that. All right. Would you like to hear the tale of bitter disappointment, or do you have questions for me? I'm happy either way. I am here for you, my friend. I am here for you. But I am... Let's see here. Do I have... Oh, yeah. I just saw this. Somebody posted on social media. Reading Aristotle? No idea what he's talking about. Check the footnote. Oh, footnote 67. No one knows what this paragraph means. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? Let me just get... Oh, gosh, do I not have this? I thought... I'm so sorry. I absolutely thought I had saved it. Let me go to where I had... Oh, let me go back and check what you guys want to talk about. Let's hear it. Yeah, okay. Does it have any theories? Do you have any theories on the rise in autism diagnoses? I've heard a bunch of different stuff. Acetaminophen, I think it was. I've, of course, heard something to do with... of course, the vaccines have been questioned about this. The fact that hormonal birth control takes away the... desire that women have for compatible genetics is not great either. Currently listening to Practical Anarchy, and what really moved me was your description of the desert and what lies beyond it in terms of the truth. Do you think the truth sets everyone free? You give me one argument, I give you a counter-argument called Julian Assange. So, no, the truth does not set everyone free. In fact, the closer you get to the truth, the more likely you are to be destroyed. You know, the story of... oh my gosh, why am I blanking on his name? Mr. Wax Wings flying too close to the sun. The Greek hero who created wings out of wax and flew too close to the sun. The wings melted, the wax melted, and he fell to his death. And that's an analogy. Icarus, thank you, Icarus. That's an analogy for just getting too much truth. Or if you know the Tower of Babel, right? You build the tower to get closer to God, and then God destroys the tower, scatters you, and divides you, right? And which is kind of what happened to the whole 2016 movement, right? Scattered and isolated and broken. So somebody says, I think there are too many chemical contaminants in modern society to nail down a single cause for autism. Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he was saying that some of the food for sale in the U.S., if it's sold in EU, it has to have carcinogen labels to them. It's like, was there a point you felt like Icarus and felt like giving up? No, I did not feel like giving up at all. Where there's a will, there's a way. You find a way in life. You find a way in life. And, I mean, just deep down, I just know. You can say it's faith or whatever. I just know that I have too much to offer to stop. I can't do it. You know, with some power comes significant responsibility. All right, I have found it. Okay, so this is this guy I had on the show. I read a lot of him when I was younger, and he was one of these guys where I said, okay, well, the lefties are pretty bad on domestic policy, but they're pretty good on foreign policy, pretty good on imperialism. They have a different set of sort of moral standards that they apply domestically versus internationally and so on, right? So, and I had him on the show a couple of times. I am, of course, talking about Noam Chomsky. So, Wall Street Journal, news exclusive. I won't read all of this. Epstein's private calendar reveals prominent names, including CIA Chief Goldman's top lawyer. All right, so let's go look up our old friend Noam Chomsky. So, let's see here. Noam Chomsky, a professor, author, and political activist, was scheduled to fly with Epstein to have dinner at Epstein's Manhattan townhouse in 2015. None of their names appear in Epstein's now public black book of contacts or the flight logs of passengers, blah, 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 blah. The documents show that Epstein arranged multiple meetings with each of them after he had served jail time in 2008 for a sex crime involving a teenage girl and was registered as a sex offender. The documents don't reveal the purpose of most of the meetings. The Wall Street Journal couldn't verify whether every scheduled meeting took place, right? So, let me just get his response, right? And include that, to be fair. Let's see here. Most of these people told the Journal they visited Epstein for reasons related to his wealth and connections. Several said they thought he had served his time and had rehabilitated himself. Mr. Botstein said he was trying to get Epstein to donate to his school. Mr. Chomsky said he and Epstein discussed political and academic topics. Let's see here. Mr. Chomsky said, said Epstein arranged for the meeting to discuss Israel's policies with regards to Palestinian issues in the international arena, blah, blah, blah. When asked about his relationship with Epstein, Mr. Chomsky replied in an email, first response is that it is none of your business, or anyone's. Second is that I knew him and we met occasionally. In March 2015, Epstein scheduled a gathering with Mr. Chomsky and Harvard University professor Martin Nowak and other academics. Mr. Chomsky said they had several meetings at Mr. Nowak's Research Institute to discuss neuroscience and other topics. 2 months later, Epstein planned to fly with Mr. Chomsky and his wife to have dinner with them and movie director Woody Allen and his wife Soon-Yi Previn. The documents show, Chomsky said, if there was a flight, which I doubt, it would have been from Boston to New York, 30 minutes. I'm unaware of the principle that requires I inform you about an evening spent with a great artist. That would be the guy who... Just look into the history of it. I don't even need to say anything about all of this. Epstein donated at least $850,000 to MIT between 2002 and 2017 and more than $9.1 million to Harvard from 1998 to 2008, the schools have said. In 2021, Harvard said it was sanctioning Mr. Nowak for violating university policies in his dealings with Epstein and was shutting a research center he ran that Epstein had funded. MIT said it was inappropriate to accept Epstein's gifts and that later it donated $850,000 to nonprofits supporting survivors of sexual abuse. In a 2020 interview with Dunk Tank podcast, Mr. Chomsky said that people he considered worse than Epstein had donated to MIT. He didn't mention any of his meetings with Epstein. Mr. Chomsky told the Journal that at the time of his meetings, quote, what was known about Jeffrey Epstein was that he'd been convicted of a crime and had served his sentence. According to U.S. laws and norms, that yields a clean slate. Oh, my gosh. And one by one, people you admire fall gruesomely to the ground. Just horrible. I mean, it's just horrible. I mean... Chomsky, of course, would claim that he's a moralist who is very able to easily identify good from evil, right from wrong. And this is who he's hanging around with and palling around with and defending. It's really tragic. If you can't be right with the little things, and this isn't even, like, if you can't be right with the personal, why would I care about the political? If you can't be right with the personal, that's, you know, you could call it something to do with Crowder too. Like, if you can't be right with the personal, why would I care what you have to say about the political? If you can't lift a 5-pound weight, why on earth would I assume you could lift a 1,000-pound weight? I know for a fact you can't, which means that if you, and look, nobody has to be perfect in their personal life, I get all of that, but I mean, this is a pretty big one, right? Palling around with the guy who facilitated the repeated rape of underage girls. and defending this and not saying, gosh, I really should have looked into this. This was terrible. I can't believe I spent time with this guy. I can't believe I gave him my wisdom ear and counsel, took his support or whatever in terms of the planes and the dinner. I don't know who paid for dinner. I guess it was the multi-zillionaire. But no, just aggressively, yeah, well, yeah, he did his time, man. He's fine. Man, oh, man. I mean, maybe people, it's funny, you know, maybe people don't think that the future is going to care about any of this stuff. Do they think, I guess they think that they and or their friends are just going to write the future and it's all going to be fine. But I'm telling you, man, I'm sort of aware of these sort of laser eyes of the future casting down upon me, upon this community, upon my life. And these defenses might cut it in the here and now, but why would you do that? Why would you defend against it? You know, if some rich guy invited me out somewhere, I'd do a little research, be like, ooh, no, no, thank you. No, thank you. Most Americans don't know who Jimmy Savile is, so they assumed who would ever know who Epstein was. Yeah, it's just, it's disappointing. You know, it's bitterly disappointing. When people have shown some moral courage and some moral insights and so on, and then they just defend this vileness, this absolute vileness. Oh, yeah, well, talking about Epstein was part of the reason I got deplatformed, I'm sure, so it's really sad when you think someone's a moralist and they turn out to just be a shill. They just turn out to be at the end of a long life. He's in his 90s now, right? The end of a long life. It turns out that he was pretty crazy on the vaccine, and he's defending hanging out with this truly satanic sexual predator. And it's like, I guess they don't care about their reputation in the future or in the present, or maybe, and it tells you everyone they hang around with, well, oh yeah, that's fine, yeah, yeah, no problem, that's what you did, he did his crime. It wasn't like he was in jail for shoplifting, for God's sakes. And it shows such an unbelievable ignorance, like a founder, maybe this is a leftist thing, like just unbelievable foundational ignorance of human nature as a whole. Human personality. Like a guy who did what Jeffrey Epstein did doesn't get better. Well, he did his time and he's back out now. And oh, so yeah, he did. And he barely did any time, right? And do you think that that means that he's just fine now? He's just, his whole brain has been rewired. He's just been fixed. All right, but yeah, it's sad. It's sad when, you know, isn't it nice to have people you admire? And yet, sort of one by one, right? People you admire just seem to be setting themselves on fire. Their reputations morally and so on, like protesting Tibetan monk style. It's just terrible. If you're looking for shows, fdrpodcast.com, that's the place to go. I don't have a memory of the content of all 5,300 shows. I just don't do it. Epstein was a real sage. Everybody just wanted his wisdom, you see. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy obviously was corrupt beyond words and evil beyond words. So why would anyone be hanging around with him? Oh, we just chatted about neuroscience. Oh, yeah, sure, because anybody who's not worth that much money and doesn't have those kinds of connections, you're just happy to chat about neuroscience with. Thank you for your tips. I appreciate it. Just by the by, and appreciate everyone's support, and do of course, what's right for you. But it's the end of the month, and I have to do my accounts monthly, and whether it's up or it's down, it means something to me, whether it's a right or wrong metric. I mean, I know it's the right metric in terms of business, but if you found what I've done this month valuable, helpful, useful, powerful, inspiring, insightful, I really would appreciate some tips. It's always nice to see either stability or maybe even a slight growth in the month-over-month stuff. That's good for my motivation and all of that. So if you could, I would really, really appreciate it. You can just tip right here on the platform. And thank you so much. And let's get into it. All right. Hi, Steph. What's your take on dating a friend's ex-girlfriend? We've always had eyes for each other, while they were dating, but now they broke up. She's been making advances on me. I'm into her, but not sure if it's a form of betrayal, especially considering she broke up with him. All right, give me some time frame. How long has she broken up? Why did they break up? And how long did they go out? And while we're getting that, let's see here. I guess she just wanted to, is this the same guy? I guess she just wanted to move on. They've been broken up for a year, but it seems my friend still has feelings for her. All right. I'll give you my rant in a second. Evan says, you're not deplatformed in my heart, mind, and soul, Steph. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Somebody says, I used to run in these enviro-political circles of the UN, MIT, Columbia, Harvard, etc. The hypocrisy was astounding. Oh, yeah. Human beings get a great deal of pleasure out of imposing rules that they exempt themselves from. It's a great deal of sadistic, deep, powerful, seductive, demonic pleasure. If you can impose rules on other people and exempt yourselves and your friends, ooh, that's about the greatest thing that you can do in terms of joy and pleasure. And it is a very unholy. People do it with their parents all the time. Bam, 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 don't hit. You take stuff, don't steal. You pick them up. Don't use force to get what you want. To impose rules on others while exempting yourself is a deep, black-hearted pleasure in human life. So, all right, let me just get... They dated for 4 years. Lived with each other, too. We're a closely intertwined friend group. Tell me, my friend, what do you admire? What virtues of her do you admire? How does she inspire you morally? What moral courage has she shown in the face of an increasingly evil world? Are you attracted to her physically? Is she fun? Is she cute? Is she funny? Or is she a really good person who morally inspires you and you can morally inspire in turn so that you can climb up this giant spiral, hopefully not Icarus-based, mountain of virtue? Or is she just around? And will you be able to trust her? How long will it take for you to trust her if she dated your friend for 4 years and then dumped him? How long will it take for you to trust her? But I know it's probably more of a physical thing. She's down to earth and causes not a lot of problems. Really? She's subject to gravity and doesn't give me hives, at least not too many. She has mass. She presses herself against the bosom of the planet and doesn't rake me with her nails on a perpetual basis. She's down to earth and causes not a lot of problems. So's a fucking chihuahua that's not too yappy. I don't think you'd date that. And is really cool and funny. Okay. Does she have any morals that inspire you? Is she honest, brave, speaks truth, takes hits, climbs up the ragged, jagged, bloody fingernail-busting cliff of virtue? Or is she subject to the laws of physics and not too problematic? I think a sex doll qualifies in that way as well. Also subject to the laws of gravity and don't cause a lot of problems, apparently, as long as you hose them out on a regular basis. Oh, my gosh. So, no, I mean, come on. She's around. She's available. She's into you. She's cute. Do you have half a decade to burn on the altar of eternity? Do you? To be fair, her boobs might defy the laws of gravity. Well, in that case. Steph, what morals does your wife possess that inspire you? I mean, honestly, just about every moral that I possess, my wife possesses as much, if not greater, in my view. So, yeah, she's very, very inspiring. Let's see here. Now, I know that one or two of you possibly may have come here for a rant. And I can feel one. It gives me the purple nipple twisties every time it begins to boil up in my brain. And I'm happy to cap it if necessary. But if you'd like a rant about getting the girl, I will absolutely give you a rant. And if you would like that, hit me with an R. Q to do more questions. R. Rant. All right. It looks like you want me to roll my R's. All right. So So the bro code. Have you ever been in a situation where you and your friend are both attracted to the same girl? But maybe he saw her first. Maybe he's a little further ahead down the road. The rule is, I think, in civilized things, the rule is you say, okay, go for it, man. You ask her out. And then you know what you do when you say to your friend, ask her out? You put the egg timer on, right? And whether it's a week, 2 weeks, probably not more than a month, it's like, hey, man, you saw her first. You liked her first. She's, you know, you may be a little further down the road with her. So, yeah, you can ask her out, right? Now, what happens if your friend doesn't ask her out? What happens? What do you do if your friend just a month, 2 months, 3 months go by, you're still into her, he hasn't asked her out? What happens? What do you do? Tell me. Tell me, my friends. What do you do? What is the rule if your friend doesn't go for it? What's the rule? Ask out your friend. Open season. That's right. Snooze, you lose. You snooze, you lose. I mean, that's the way it was when I was growing up. I mean, yes, you know, the guys are all angling for the queen bee, the alpha female or whatever. And yeah, if your friend likes her, it's like, yeah, go for it, man. You know, you might step back if your friend is further ahead. He may do that for you. Or maybe you're both going at the same time. In which case, let's say that both you and your friend are going for the same girl at the same time. What is not allowed in the competition for a great woman? What is not allowed? I mean, to me, there's some things that are not allowed, but what is not allowed in your, what would break the bro code? What is not allowed when you are in hot pursuit of a great woman? What is not allowed? No sabotage, no violence. Yeah, absolutely, for sure. No sabotage. You can't trash talk your friend in a false manner. And of course, you can't use violence and so on. But outside of that, let's say that you have more money than your friend. Are you allowed to spend more money asking her out on a date? Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are. Let's say you're taller. Are you allowed to, you know, be extra tall and, right? If you have an advantage, you play it for everything you've got. And this is the funny thing about, I was reading this article about how teenage boys are becoming super conservative. What's happening to teenage girls, everyone? Any thoughts? Throw something over, throw the lawn dot over the house and see what we get on the other side. What's happening to teenage girls, liberal versus conservative, left versus right? Yeah, they're going left. Hard left, baby, which is really tough, of course, because what are the boys going to do with all of these leftroids out there? It's very strange to me, because when I was a teenage boy, we did what we could to please the girls. You've got to be attractive. And the weird thing is, like, I don't know why it is that some people bond with ideology over love. Well, why would you bond with ideology over actual love? Why would you bond with female peers over a good-looking, nice, conservative boy? Why? Why? It makes no sense to me. I mean, look, I get peer groups are important. Do you know why peer groups are important? Peer groups are important because that's where you choose your mate. And that's it. That's why peers matter, for your mate. But people in their teenage years or maybe their early 20s, they have this weird thing where it's like, you know, my friends are everything to me. It's like, what? That's insane. Your friends are there to help you get your mate. And people move, they change jobs, they have different interests. Some people get married, some people go weird. And the idea that, well, you know, your friend group in your teens and your 20s, man, they're your tribe, they're your companion for the rest of your life. Nope. No. We pair bond with a mate, and they're your companion for the rest of your life. Friends are great. I got friends. I love my friends. Love spending time with my friends. But it's my wife and my child that matters the most. And there's not even a close second. There's not even a close second. So the idea that you would sacrifice a great woman for the sake of a friend? That's why I asked if she was a great woman, right? The idea that friendship is more important than romantic love? That's weird. That is very, very strange. A bit more of a female thing, I think, than a male thing. But when it comes to your friend, my friend, you want to date his ex-girlfriend, they'd be broken up for a year, he still has feelings for her? Oh, no. If anyone had a shot, it's this guy. He already had his shot, man. He took his best run at it. And his lance splintered. His chainmail went through his chest and his horse burst into flames. I mean, he's done. He's a smoking, screaming ruin riding off to find a river. He's gone. He's done. He's flushed. He's out. He is off the island. I mean, he had his shot, man. Because he had her for years. They lived together for years. And she dumped his ass. So he's done and dusted. He's in the river. Oh, but he's still got feelings for her. Then, if he still has feelings for her, and she dumped him, and for a year, he hasn't done, cried, pleaded, do whatever to get her back, then you're not doing any favors by giving him this delusion that he's got a shot at this point. She flushed him, man. She dumped him. Half frozen out of the wheels of the airplane. Boom, done. He's so deep in the rear view, he ain't, I mean, he'd normally be coming back around the front, even if the planet was the size of Jupiter. So he's gone, man. He's floating in space, frozen and done. With also a comet entrails through his eyeballs. Gravity style. So, that's done. Now, if you have a friend who cares about you, and he believes that you and his ex-girlfriend can be happy together, what should your friend do? Here I pass it out to this lovely audience. What should your friend do if he believes that you and his ex-girlfriend could be happy, could build a life, build a family? What should he do? What should he do? Yeah, he should say, listen, man, I didn't work out with me and her, but you guys seem to have some real chemistry and all that, so I, you know, you should really, and your friend should notice this, right? He should notice. He knows this woman very well. Now, if she's a good woman, he should say, look, I blew it with a good woman, but you should have a chance. We've got too much history. So what is going on with your friend group? I don't know. It's weird to me. Like, don't you just have honest conversations with your friends about important things? I'm not alone in that, am I? It's not just me, is it? That I'm like the only person who has important conversations with my friend group about important things? No, it can't just be me. What are you talking about? What are your friends group hanging out if you're interested in some girl and it's really on your mind and you're here on a forum talking about it rather than talking about it with your friend group and the girl? I mean, okay, how old are you? I mean, I assume it's not 12, right? How old are you, my friend? 28. Oh, come on, man. You're pushing 30 and you can't reach out to take what you want? A bro code, really. You know, as far as I remember, and this may be ancient biology from my youth, you're not going to be able to make a kid with that guy. You're not going to be able to build a family with your male friend. You use your male friends to find the right woman. You use your female friends to find the right woman. And what is allowable in finding the right woman? Everything except lies and violence. All's fair in love and war. All's fair in love and war. And at 28, man, you're starting to push the clock. Men have a clock as well. Men have a clock as well. Because you don't want to date someone with a massive age gap. And so if you're looking for a woman your own age, if that woman, and if she's been around for a year, she's been broken up for a year, she's single for a year, if she's also close to 30, then she should be trying to find someone right. But man, try and find someone right for you. Don't just pick from what's around. I mean, you wouldn't believe, somebody posted this, like you wouldn't believe how many single women go to introduction to salsa classes. You go to an introduction to salsa class, you're going to get a woman with coordination, with elegance, with rhythm, with a good figure. I mean, just go find a good woman. Just, oh, let's see what's around, right? I mean, when you're hungry, do you just look around on the ground and see what there is? Or do you maybe go out and get some food? Let's see what's close by. I'm just going to choose from that. It's lazy. It's lazy. And especially, like, if you guys are here, right? You guys are here. So here's the thing. You're going to need some extraordinary women. What are the odds of an extraordinary woman just happening to be in your friend group that you've had from before the time that you were extraordinary? What are the odds of you finding a philosophical woman in a group that you formed before you were philosophical? Oh, God. It's like you became a beautiful singer, took singing lessons, discovered a glorious voice, you became a beautiful singer, and you say, you know what? I'm going to make an a cappella choir out of my childhood friends. Unless you grew up with Frankie Valli and Billy Joel, it ain't going to happen. The odds of you being able to form a magical, gorgeous, pentatonic-style singing group with people you happen to grow up with is virtually zero. So when you acquire excellence, you have to pursue greatness. You pursue greatness, you find the right people. Do you think philosophy is just something that happens in your head and online? And no, no, no. Philosophy comes through and reshapes everything if you let it. And if you don't, it just screws everything up. When you get on philosophy, man, it runs and you hang on. But if you're listening to the show, you're watching the show, you're into philosophy, what is your relationship to your friend group? Now, again, maybe there's some bizarre miracle by which a significant portion of your friend group is just brilliant and genius. But come on, that's not going to happen. There's no functional possibility to that. You might win the lottery 5 times in a row, but I still recommend putting some money in savings or crypto. I'm inclined to ditch her, says Bob, and just put bros before hoes. Yeah, I got to tell you, that kind of cliched nonsense is just annoying. First of all, you don't get to ditch her if she's not your girlfriend or you haven't even asked her out on a date, so you're not ditching anyone. Bros before hoes? First of all, never let a woman hear you say that, except as a joke. And maybe you're joking or whatever, right? But I don't see it because it's a very serious matter and there's no joke in the actual thing, right? If she's a great woman, get her. Let nothing stand in your way. Now, of course, I say, what's not allowed? Well, what's not allowed, of course, is a violence and lies. But, of course, a great woman wouldn't want you if you were violent or lying. So with a great woman, everything is permitted. You get her. You woo her. You win her. You put nothing else in the way, and whatever she needs to get comfortable, to get connected, to bond, to trust you, you work at that. You do everything within your power to woo and win her. And that's an incredible compliment for a woman to be on the receiving end on. Women want to be wooed. Women want to be won. Women want to be pursued. So you put your best foot forward, and you take your shot. And the idea that the guy who had her and blew it should be more important than what you want in a woman is absolutely incomprehensible to me. If he's your friend, he wants you to be happy. If he cares about her, he wants her to be happy. If you and her can be happy, your friend should be facilitating that. Now you say, from what I understand, if I don't see a future with her, what's the point? What kind of spineless tapioca typing is this? I don't understand. From what I understand, if I don't see a future with her, what's the point? Do you want her? Now, if you're going to sit here and say, which is fine, you're going to sit here and say, actually, she doesn't have any real virtues. She's just pretty and funny. Okay, then there's, you know, we've answered, right? Then go find better women. Like, ditch whoever you're around to go and find better women. Do you think that every great band stayed with the same garage band idiots that they started with when they were 12? No. to get a great band together, you find the very top people in all of their fields. The Steve Howes, the John Andersons, the Mick Jaggers, you find the very top people in their area of expertise, and you get the super band together, like the Traveling Wilburys. You just get the best people together. And yes, y'all can be cynical. Women, they reach the age of 18 and they just sign up for OnlyFans. It's like, yeah, a few of them do. And those people have been horribly abused, probably sexually, throughout their childhood. And it's just appalling and it's awful. And yes, I get it. And you can look at the Whatever podcast and you can look at High Body Count Girls and you can look at the people on the exception to the bell curve. And you can focus on the most negative aspects and characteristics of modern women and say, well, that's all women. That's really the majority of women. So I guess I'm stepping out of the ring. And you're saying you can't be a leader. You can't inspire. You can't woo a woman to virtue. You can't bring her to the mountaintop with you. You can't be any kind of leader in a relationship. That you just have to, like a sad, homeless guy picking through the garbage. You can't order anything off the menu or anything on the menu. That you just have to passively look over the detritus of trash around you and find some way to survive on that. Come on, people. Go out and find her. Exercise. Use skin creams. Get sun. Whiten your teeth if you have to. Go out there. Be confident. Do it for the sake of your ancestors. You know your ancestors had to make babies with women who'd had smallpox and had like half a face? Your ancestors had to make babies with women who never brushed their teeth. Your ancestors had to make babies with women who never ever saw soap. And the only shower they got was when it rained. And your ancestors on the female side had to do the same. Have we been... So the cynics will attach themselves to you like vampires. And the cynics will say, everything is shit and you're wise to avoid. Everything is shit and you're wise to avoid. And you know what that gives you? That gives you a relief from the fight. It gives you a relief from the struggle. It gives you a way out, a chickening out of making families with a great woman. You get to chicken out of that shit. And you don't have to look in the mirror and say, I'm really, really a chicken. I'm a coward. I'm just, I don't want to fight. I don't want to get off my ass. I'd rather stay home and stain my Kleenex. I don't want to get out there. I don't want to fight. I'm going to lose. But rather than call yourself a coward, and listen, I say this with sympathy. There's stuff I'm scared of. There's stuff I'm cowardly about. So I'm not saying this is any kind of Hulk, He-Man, Atlas of the Universe standing on a mountaintop, struck by lightning, never feels any fear. I'm saying this brother to brother, brother to sister. Yes, we're all tempted by fear. We're all tempted to avoid the struggle, avoid the fight. I get that. I get that. I really do. I sympathize. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not superior. I'm with you. We're all down in the trenches here. But the thing is, you've got to be honest about it. Don't drape your fear in this bullshit, nihilistic, black pill pretend wisdom. Oh, the women are all doing OnlyFans. No, that's a tiny minority. Oh, the women are all leftists. No, they're not all leftists. Oh, the women are all too emotional. Well, you're giving into the emotion called fear, and you're saying that women are too emotional. Please, please. And you, yeah, the doom of contents. What, you go to these shows, these podcasts, where these, quote, alpha males are asking basic questions to what look like coked out run-through leftovers and saying, well, that's all we've got, man. That's all there is. No. No. Yeah, you go to social media, you go to this sort of stuff, and yeah, you're going to say, this is terrible. 80% of them are leftists. Stop being passive! For God's sake, stop being passive. They're not leftists. They're not leftists. They don't know what they are. They're repeating the echo chamber. And there's a part of them, the soul, the depth, the real, the human, there's a part of them under the rubble. Under the rubble. That desperately wants to be let out of the sterility and depression and anxiety of the passive leftist position. Be a leader. I mean, read my... This whole book is a cry for this. My book, The Present. The whole book is a cry for this. Read the character of Oliver. He is willing to be a leader. He's willing to be a leader, and look what happens. Arlo is not willing to be a leader. And look what happens. Stop being passive. Please, I'm begging you, stop being passive. Your life is going to pass you by regardless. And you're going to have a long time. From 45 to 85, you're going to have a good old 40 years to not have a family. Because the fear will lift from you when it no longer serves its purpose and all that is left is regret. Like the tide comes in, the tide goes out, and all that's left is dying fish, seaweed, and salt. When it's past time to get a good woman, all the fears you had about your ability to get a good woman will vanish once it's past your time. And you look back and you say, what the hell was I so scared of? You see, the fear is demonic. The fear is demonic. And the fear is there to destroy you. It's a negative, black-hearted force in the world and in your heart and in all of us. The devil comes along and says, you chicken to try, but I'm not going to call it chicken. I'm going to call it a wisdom. Yeah. I'm going to call it monk level MGTOW. I'm going to call it realism. I'm going to call it the truth. I'm simply aligning with reality. I'm not a chicken who won't go out and get his due in the world. I'm going to say, hey, man, women aren't super high quality and the world is unjust and everyone's programmed. Let me ask you this. Try slipping into her bodice for a while. Rather than you thinking about how disappointing women are, think about what a high-quality woman looks around and sees, including you, in this modern landscape. What does she see? Guys who are bitter, guys who are cynical, guys who are like, well, it's so unfair that women get all this power early in life, all this sexual, dating, romantic power. It's so unfair. It's just wrong, right? And then the woman, she's like 40, and she says, you know, society just ignores me. And the man is like, yeah, well, welcome to my life from ages 18 to 40. Ha! I'm so mad at biology. I'm so mad at society. I'm so mad at the world. It's so unfair. Unfair is just the bullshit you use to pretend you're not cowardly. There are quality women out there. You can go find them or not. And if you choose not to, just say, I'm too scared. I'm too scared of rejection. I haven't made myself into a quality enough man to attract a quality woman. I'd rather seethe and sit in my squalid little shithole of resentment then go out there and really work to try and find and keep a quality woman. I'm too scared I'm going to be rejected. I'm too scared I'm going to be exploited. I'm too scared I'm going to be manipulated. I get all of that, and I understand that. And I'm, again, I say this with sympathy. I really do. Honest to goodness, I say this with sympathy. I mean, do you know what courage is? Courage is just not lying to yourself about cowardice. That's all it is. That's all it is. If you drape your avoidance of challenge in some pretend imaginary deep Faustian wisdom, well, I've seen too bleakly, darkly, and deeply into the Dostoevskian nihilistic nature of the modern world, and I choose to sit here floating on my ethereal cloud of rightness rather than get down into the squalid mess of human interactions. Okay, well then you're doomed. You're totally doomed. All I'm saying is, courage is when you look to yourself and you say, okay, come on, it's all crap. You have the world at your feet. Let me ask you this. Do you think it was easier to find a high-quality woman when you lived in a tribe of 50 people? Really? You have the internet. You have a communications mechanism that gives you access to 2 billion females, or 4 billion females. Let's say that you can narrow it down to a bunch of standards, and maybe you want 0.00001%, and maybe that's only 100,000 females across the world. Find a way to find them. Become prominent, be out there, put yourself out there, find any way to get attention. Like the people who were like, oh, I can't find work. Okay, have you called everyone up? Have you stood on a street corner with a sandwich board? Have you handed out your resume? I mean, come on, just find a way to make it happen. You have statistically, factually, technologically, you have an almost infinitely greater chance of finding a higher quality woman than every single one of your ancestors. You say, well, there are lots of low quality women out there. Yes, you think that wasn't true? When there are 100 people in a fishing village, do you think that wasn't true back then? Do you think that your ancestors, when looking for a high quality woman, would rather be in your shoes or their shoes? Especially because you're philosophical. Do you think when you lived in a tribe of 100 people that you could just find this magical, red-pilled, philosophical woman among the 10 women around that you could date? God. You literally... It'd be like me saying, well, your world is kind of anti-rational and, you know, it's really tough to get your voice out there. It's really tough to get your word out there. And, you know, nobody wants to listen to reason and nobody cares about the truth, and nobody cares about facts and evidence, and nobody wants to be moral, and nobody wants to pursue self-knowledge, and blah, 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 right? And so I don't do a show. It's the funny thing, right? The people come to my house and my show, and they say to me, Steph, it's just too tough and it's too bad out there. Really? Because the job of being a public philosopher has just been a total cakewalk. Do it in my sleep, never been any problems. Nobody's ever physically attacked me. Nobody's ever threatened to bomb or blow me up. Nobody's ever threatened to shoot me. Nobody's ever been threatened to stab me. I've never been chased through the streets. I've never been tear gassed. None of that stuff has ever happened. No. I never had my income savaged. I never had my reputation destroyed. No. So I'm supposed to keep going. But you're supposed to sit still. You come to my house. You come to my conversation, you come to my show, which I appreciate, and I invite you in. Thank you so much. You come to my house of make it happen willpower, and you say to me, not you, I'm just talking to everyone, right? We all have this part in us, right? Can't win, don't try, don't bother, and not be honest about it, and call it wisdom. Yeah, in Hong Kong, I marched with the protesters. I got faceful after faceful of tear gas. I struggled, got my eye drops, and continued. And I was completely retarded because I didn't even wear any face protection or eye protection. Those canisters can take out an eye easy. That was a bit stupid, without a doubt. I've given speeches with massive security around me because of bomb and death threats. It's hard to find a good woman. Of the 17 years or 18 years I've been doing this, about 17 of them have had times of very extreme difficulty. And we are still going. And we are still laying down the tracks, and we're still dropping truth bombs. And I'm still motivating people and encouraging people and putting along peaceful parenting. I mean, do you view me as some bizarre alien life form possessed of qualities of character that you can't possibly emulate? That's not the point of philosophy. The point of philosophy is not to look at me. The point of philosophy is not to watch me chop down a tree. The point of philosophy is for you to chop down your own trees, right? This is not an observational sport. I strongly urge you to stop watching and start doing. I mean, keep watching for sure. Appreciate the donations. Thank you. The world hangs a weight in our soul. Repeatedly, escalatingly, it hangs a weight in our soul. And that's the devil whispering in our ear. Don't try. It's too hard. There's nothing out there. Why bother? Play your video games. Watch your porn. Consume material on the internet that you have no inclination to actually put into practice in your life. Just be. Get some fake achievements. Get some fake fertility. Go MGTOW. Go monk mode. Half of all marriages end in divorce. She'll take all your stuff. Prenups don't work. There's no point looking for love. Women are all corrupted. Yeah, I get that. Look, we all have that voice. I get that. But you're only here because I didn't listen to that voice. Or I listened to it and I accepted it and I overrode it. Right? I mean, I was raised by an insane woman. My friends were all raised by insane women as a whole. I had some pretty crazy teachers. In theater school, they really turned on me because of my politics. In academia, I was recognized as one of the most brilliant people in my university. Couldn't get any traction. It took me forever to find a sponsor or a thesis advisor for my graduate school. Battle, battle, battle. Do I just sit there and say, well, you know, the whole world is so corrupt, you can't do anything. The bad people run everything. There's nothing you can do but hide out and die out. Hide out and die out. I didn't have the internet. You do. I didn't have mass communications technology. You do. You just keep going. You find a way. Or you don't. And if you don't find a way, that's fine. That's fine. I think it's a terrible idea, but just be honest with yourself about it and say, I have the greatest technology to find great people, to find a great woman that has ever existed in the history of the planet. I have a dating pool of 100,000 people that I could find a way to contact, that I could find a way to inspire, that I could find some way to get in contact with. I have a dating pool of 100,000 people, but I'm not going to try. I'm just not going to try. I'm not going to join the clubs. I'm not going to join the sports leagues. I'm not going to join the dance groups. I'm not going to join whatever. I'm not just going to find it a mission to find a great woman. I say, oh, well, you know, but she doesn't believe everything that I believe, and she's kind of lefty, and so what? Do you think my wife and I believed everything we believe now when we got together? I mean, you've seen me change my mind over the years. Hide out and die out. Just don't lie to yourself about it. That's all. I'm saying. Oh, there aren't any good women. They join OnlyFans and they're too lefty. And blah, blah. Okay, fine. And then, you know, don't pretend it's wisdom because some people are able to achieve it. I get you can't jump to the moon. Unaided. I get that. Nobody should try. You're going to hurt yourself. I get you can't fly by flapping your arms. I get all of that. Don't do it. But some people can find great women. Some women can find great men, settle down, have great family lives. You see it all the time on this server. You can see it right here, in this chat, right here. There's the evidence that you're hiding out, that you're not wise, that you're backing down from the fight and the challenge. Just don't lie to yourself and tell yourself it's wisdom. That's all I'm. Courage is just refusing to lie to yourself about cowardice. You look and you say, I could do it. I choose not to. I could do it. I'm too scared. I could do it. I bow out. That's all. Just be honest with yourself about it. Because here's the problem. If you're not honest about it, here's the real danger, man. Here's the real danger. Because you all spread this manure around. You spread this shit around. You spread these endless fertilizer to the ultimate weeds all around you. You do it online. You do it in comments. You do it in person. You do it in every communication. Oh, can't win. Don't try. Black pill, blah, blah, blah. You're spreading that shit. Can't find a good woman when I'm currently out there sabotaging my entire culture and trying to rip the spines out of good men and women. Funny enough, you know, I'm out here disassembling human souls, and angels don't seem to approach me very much. Isn't that interesting? What a strange, strange thing that is. Here I am, spreading negativity, hanging weights on the wings of the human soul, perpetually undermining and corroding other people's will and courage and capacity. Here I am out here dismantling the structure of the planet. I just can't find a good woman. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? I'm an arsonist, but I can't find a good architect. I'm a soul murderer, but I can't find a great healer. Isn't that weird? You see, you think it's the world. I say, it's your actions. You think you're evaluating the world. You're not. You're merely evaluating the effects of your chosen actions. If you're out there inspiring people and refusing the black-hearted temptation of the black pill of paralysis, if you're out there fighting for a better world, achieving things, taking reasonable risks, not throwing yourself off a cliff, you're out there doing the right things. Do you know how many people out there? Well, they're in here. Do you know how many people out there are desperate for any kind of inspiration, any kind of hope, any kind of positivity, any kind of enthusiasm, any kind of willed achievement? They're desperate, women in particular, desperate for it. You have people desperate for the food you can provide, desperate for it. And maybe they don't know it, and maybe they only see it instinctively and all of that. People, they're desperate for the food that your courage could provide. And you say, well, the problem is that no one's hungry, so why would I feed anybody? People just take your food and spit it up and spit it back in your face. Yeah, so you're just a wise guy. You're very wise. You're very smart. You're very deep. Yeah, absolutely. You've got it all going on. And hear me, you know, this is the funny thing. Hear me with my silly delusions about being able to have an efficacious action and effect on my life and the life of those around me and the lives of y'all, the world, right? Me, I'm an idiot, right? I'm a complete and total fool because I somehow think that overcoming the black pill and becoming positive in the face of obstacles, destruction, violence, danger, threats, that I can keep going and keep shooting my flare of reason up into a darkening world. I'm just wrong. I mean, you're the wise one. You're the one who really gets it. You're the one who's just, you got everything down in life. I'm the fool who thinks that there's hope. Now, the fact that I have a beautifully happy marriage, great friendships, a wonderful relationship with my daughter, and a life of meaning and positive impact in the world, well, man, that's just a weird delusion. I mean, the fact that I've been in philosophy for 40 years and it's made my life unbelievably, immeasurably, infinitely better. 40 years. 40 years. I don't have any credibility because you're 25. You're 25. I'm only 56. I've only been struggling since I was born. But you see, you're 25 and you just, you know, 31 years younger than me, but you just know everything. You're right. I'm wrong. All of my happiness and achievement are just weird delusions. My wife doesn't exist, and my daughter is an alien-planted animatronic. And all the people watching are just mere figments of my imagination, hand puppets thrust up by strangely flexible toe puppets. I'm just wrong. Man, I gotta kneel before you. You know, I gotta get divorced. I gotta throw my kid into some other place, and I've just gotta come and join you in the basement and just stare at the wood paneling and let despair creep over my limbs until they turn to Peloponnesian ash. The first virtue, as you know, said this forever, the first virtue, always and forever, is what? What is the first virtue without which no other virtue is possible? What is the first virtue? Honesty. That's right. It's honesty. That's all I'm asking. Be honest. Be honest. Have some men and women achieved what you want? Yes. Therefore, you can achieve it. What one man can do, another man can do. What one woman can do, another woman can do. It can be done. So, given that it can be done, the question is, why aren't you doing it? And the answer is, and I say this with great love and sympathy, the answer is, you're terrified. You're terrified of failure. You're terrified of hope. You're terrified of the possibility of success. You'd rather live with no joy rather than have joy that you might lose. I understand that. It's the hoarding nature of humanity comes from particularly cold climate cultures. I can't eat all my food now. I'm going to starve to death in February. Well, I can't have joy now because I'm going to just lose it later. Of course I am. My wife and I are going to die miserable, most likely, because one of us is going to die before the other, most likely me, statistically. It's one of the reasons I exercise and keep my weight down. My wife is going to be heartbroken probably for years because she will have lost the love of her life. I will be heartbroken for years if she dies before me because I will have lost the love of my life. My daughter could get hit by a bus tomorrow and it would break my heart forever. All life leads to loss. You know that, right? All life leads to loss. You're going to lose anyway. And it is an old cliche and not very good Eurythmics song, better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. It's a long time to live with that imaginary black pill shielding you from all of the fiery furnaces of human joy and hearth. The comfort of love, the joy of parenthood, the community of family. You're going to live without that for the rest of your life? What if you're wrong? It's a reasonable question, isn't it? Say, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? What if you could have it? What if you're wrong? It's a worst case scenario. Far worse than loss, right? The worst case scenario is you give up everything that makes life worthwhile because you're afraid. A fear I completely understand. Completely understand. Again, I am not saying this from any position of superiority. I promise you. I promise you. You're afraid. Be honest about that and say, I could have it, but I'm scared. Okay, that is the beginning of the path to wisdom, true wisdom, and it is the beginning of the path to courage. So you can't solve a problem you won't admit exists. And if you think that your fear is not fear, but wisdom, well, nobody wants to solve the problem called wisdom. I know too much. The fact that I know that 2 and 2 is 4, that the earth is 8 light minutes from the sun and the moon 1/4 light second from the earth. This is knowledge that is a huge problem to me that I need to erase. The fact that I know it's better to eat couscous rather than gravel scooped up from the highway, that's a big problem I need to solve. Nobody looks at wisdom and say, that's a problem I need to solve. People look at fear and say, that could be a problem I need to solve. So the devil offers you relief from fear with the pretend wisdom. Oh, you're not scared. There's nothing out there. You're not scared. You're wise. You don't go hunting for a monkey in a snowstorm. There's nothing out there. Stay in here. I mean, there are some people who get it, but they're probably lying and they're going to lose it anyway. You know, I understand. This is why people get such schadenfreude, right? They get such a joy when people publicly flame out like Steven Crowder because they say, well, look, man, Steven Crowder struggled and he worked and he sacrificed and he got married and he's got kids and he's built an empire. Now it's all falling apart and he's done, right? Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, they were the most beautiful people on the planet, incredibly talented, wealthy, cratered and collapsed, right? People love that because they say, oh, well, come on. They tried and they failed. They tried, they got, and they lost. Why would I? Forget it. It's better to not try because you didn't try that. Because you got to ignore all the, I remember being in Florida many years ago. And I was walking with my daughter and there was an elderly couple about to get into a car. And they turned, gave me this huge smile. And they said, I remember when our first one was that age, and now we are going, we have 60 family members for our anniversary. We're just driving over now. And they listed all the family members they had. This whole huge pyramid of life came out of this woman's vajayjay, right? They got it. They got it. My daughter has friends, great families. Some of them have 7 kids. It's beautiful. Marriages that have stayed together for decades. Children, grandchildren, nieces, aunts, cousins, good people. Don't tell me you can't have it. Tell me you're afraid. I respect that. I respect that because we're all afraid at times. Tell me you're afraid. Tell me you're desperate to have great things in life, but you're terrified you can't get them or you can't keep them. And it's easier to not try. Man, props, respect, honor, dignity, praise, worship for you for that honest. That honesty is a beautiful thing because that's the beginning of getting what you want. Getting what you want. The beginning of getting what you want is to say not that you can't get it or that it's not out there, but you're scared to get it. And if you get it, you're scared to lose it. That I personally hugely respect that. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's an honorable thing. To admit fear is a beautiful and honorable. I'm actually moved just thinking about all these beautiful people, all you beautiful people out there. You're scared. I get it. I'm scared sometimes too. I won't give in to the fear, and I won't lie to myself about it. It doesn't make me perpetually brave. It doesn't make me perfectly a shining blah, blah beacon of whatever, right? It's nothing like that. Just look in the mirror and say, I want love. I want fatherhood. I want motherhood. I want a community. I want a family. I want to be loved and treasured for the rest of my days. Of course you do. Of course you do. You want to be loved and treasured for the rest of your days, and you want to have someone to love and treasure for the rest of your days. Of course you do. That's the most beautiful thing in life. Beats money, beats fame, beats success. Beats power, beats dominance, beats impact, beats influence. You want someone to wake up next to you and be overjoyed that you're there. And you want to wake up next to someone and be overjoyed that they're there. And why not you? It's what we all want. You don't want to be lonely. You don't want to be isolated. You don't want to be sinking into the black depths of the water, hanging on to your black obsidian egg that you think is going to bring you to some nirvana of truth. It simply brings you to the cold, inky, jellyfish-haunted depths of nothing. You want it. Of course you do. I want it. I woke up this morning, chatted, and kissed my wife, walked over to my daughter's bedroom, knocked on the door, sat at the foot of her bed, and we chatted about a very exciting and wonderful day that she had yesterday with a big group of friends. That's about as beautiful a start to any day that you could possibly imagine. I played a game of Catan with my wife. We went for a walk. I'm doing this chat. And we have the rest of the day. We had a very busy last couple of days, so we're going to stay home today. And I honestly, my friends, I refuse to look at myself as lucky. I refuse to look at myself as lucky. I did the work. I did the therapy. I did the self-knowledge. I did the virtue. I did the difficult things with my relationships. It's not luck. Oh, I got the lottery. I won the ticket. It's not luck. If it was luck, it would be cruel for me to reproduce it. Be like me saying the I can make your brown eyes blue podcast. It's like, no, I can't. Genetically, I can't. You got your eyes, you got. It's the possibilities that I can reproduce that I talk about. It's the possibilities that I can reproduce, the things that aren't accidents, the things that aren't luck, the things that aren't blind fortune. That's what I can provide to you, and that's what I've been struggling to provide to the world for 18 years straight. My show can vote. I'm not lucky. I worked hard. If I hadn't worked hard, I would have met my wife and she would have passed me by. It's what Hamlet says. The preparation is all. Preparation is everything. Be a great, positive, inspired, enthusiastic person. I met my wife in part because I wrote a book, my very first book had just been published. She said, how was your day? And I said, pretty good. She said, oh, why? I said, oh, I've been writing for years. My first book just got published. She's like, wow. And I said to, and she said, oh, I'd like to read it sometime. I said, I'm not going to let you read it because I'm using reverse psychology, so I'm denying it to you. And she said, you can't use reverse psychology. I mean, I practice psychology. I'm like, ooh, saucy, right? So I have been writing. I met my wife in my early 30s. I've been writing since I was 6 years old. I did a quarter century of writing. And a book got me a wife. Preparation, right? All right, let me get to your comments. Sorry about the long speech. I value your advice, but when I'm out there asking girls out, it doesn't seem to be that way. Yes, I'm in my early 20s. I want to make sure I get that consequence. So I never thought of myself as asking girls out, rightly or wrongly. I think mindset is super important in life. So I never thought of myself as asking girls out. I was offering them the opportunity to join a fun ride called life with me. I'm not asking, right? That's a supplicating position. And why would you ask a woman out before vetting her thoroughly? And you can vet people thoroughly in about 30 seconds. You just say something that you genuinely think that may go against the grain of the general bullshit of modern culture. You just say something that's original, say something that's surprising. See how they react. Hostility? Done. Curiosity? Okay, let's keep talking. Interest? Okay, let's keep talking. Condemnation? Bye. I don't date robots. I don't exploit NPCs. I'm not into necrophilia and I don't bang the brain dead. Say, yes, I am scared. Yes, you say. So am I. Very scared. I worry I won't get it or I won't keep it. Feel like I'm chasing a fantasy. That's beautiful and noble. And that's courage, right? The courage to admit that you're scared is the first step to achievement. I'm afraid of being revealed as incompetent and vainglorious. Every time I talk about my ambitions, of course, I think, I know people are going to, like, I've got the speech and I've got the snippets that people can take out and lie about me with, right? So, yes, I say that I have a 500-year business plan. People are like, he's just some podcaster. Who the hell does he to talk about blah, 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 blah? It's like, yeah, I get that. I get that cynicism. I get that attack. And my only comfort is that the people who are cynical about my ambitions won't achieve anything. So they'll vanish to history and I'll last. Somebody says, you're bringing me to tears here, Steph. Thank you. You're very welcome, man. You're very welcome, my brothers and sisters. Yeah, I struggle with this at times, a spiral of procrastination until I tell myself to get up and get what I want accomplished. I'll be happy after, yes. Very good. It's joy of life stuff. Yes. Guess I need to try harder. Preach! I love this long speech, Steph. Please don't apologize for that. I think that was one of the best speeches you've had. Thank you. First live. I love you. Love you back, man. Thank you so much. Steph, I have left a tip in the middle of your rant. I understand that it is off topic. Please have a look at it and let me know what you think. I might indeed. Thank you. Let me just go back and see the tip. To be honest, I will look at the amount of the tip and see how important it is to you. I'm just going to be straight up front with you. I'll be honest, right? Honesty is the first virtue. All right, so let me look back here. What do you got? What do you got? Oh, actually, I can look at these. Ah, yes, I appreciate that. That's a kind tip. All right. Hi, Steph. Much love from Quebec. Quebec, huh? I've recently started learning about and practicing Stoicism. For the next 52 weeks, I will have a new lesson each week. For example, this week I was learning about and practicing dichotomy of control. I loved it. In your opinion, is there anything in Stoicism that could damage a person's character? Are there any Stoic topics or thoughts that that you strongly disagree with? Again, I'm not an expert on Stoicism, but I, as far as I understand it, and correct me, of course, where I go astray, but Stoicism has a lot to do with accepting the world and, in a Buddhist sort of manner, reducing your desires. To expect less, to reduce your desires, to be content with what you have. Does that strike you as me? Not that I should be the gauge by, but if you're coming to ask the advice of somebody who practices the opposite of what you preach, that's kind of important, right? You, do you think I'm just content with the world? Do you think I just accept things? Do you think I try to reduce my desires for a better or saner world? Or do you think I throw myself against the bricks of anti-rationality and try and plow my way through no matter how bloody it makes me? Do you think I'm content with the way of the world? And I think that in a dichotomy between me and the world, it's important that I give way and accept the way the world is and minimize and reduce, if not eliminate, my desires for things to be different because it will simply lead to frustration and discontent. Do you think the world doesn't piss me off on a regular basis? Do you think I'm not annoyed and irritated at the self-willed blindness of the planet as a whole? Yes! Yes, 1,000 times yes. Do you think I'm content to just let it be? Nope. So if you're going to an ultimate anti-Stoic in many ways, and you are saying, well, do you think that there are any problems with Stoicism? You may not understand me, or you may not understand Stoicism. So, yeah, indifference is the best thing for the corrupt, because they get to continue with less resistance. Yes. 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 I mean, the fact that nobody on the Epstein list has even been questioned, let alone arrested. I mean, unfortunately, that's, you know, that's just going to be, it's just undermining everybody's belief in the morality of the law, which is coming at great cost to society as a whole. All right, let me get to your comments. I'll just wait for your comments to catch up. But again, I'm not an expert on Stoicism, but that's sort of my impression of it and what I've read. That you must manfully bear your suffering and not complain over much and accept that suffering is foundational to life. And no, it's not. Fuck suffering. Fuck suffering. Do you take Novocaine if you have a tooth to fill a cavity in? Fuck suffering. Do you think I got this scar on my neck and didn't take any anesthetic? Fuck suffering. And fuck the people who make you suffer. Fuck the sadists. Fuck the masochists. Fuck suffering. Why do we have to deal with it? Why do we have to live with it? Okay, nature a little bit here and there. Yeah, there's aging and so on, but that's a deal that anybody over the age of 5 understands. LOL, you are exactly the right person to ask this question. I will let you know 52 weeks later what I found out. Okay. So, no particular response to anything I said. Just you're going to keep going as if I said nothing. Oh, well, hey, it's your life. It's your choice. It's your choice. Like, pretty passionate speech. And you're like, I'm just going to keep going. That is certainly your choice. Wouldn't be mine, but it's certainly yours. All right, any other last questions or comments or issues? And again, thank you so much for, if you'd like to throw me any command, that was a speech of half a lifetime. And I just wanted to point out, it's pretty cool, isn't it, that I've been doing the show for 18 years and still ripping out some incredibly great and passionate and motivating speeches from the bottom of my heart, soul, gizzards, innards, whatever. Can I persuade you to briefly flirt with politics and make the case for why a Trump presidency would have prevented the Ukraine invasion? Hit me with a why if you would like me to answer that. I'm happy to take a swing. Yes. Okay. Hey, I am, for the most part, your willing slave, and we've only had two no's. So, two no's, that's like four nostrils. All right. So, Trump, in the 90s, when the Soviet Union fell, NATO was redundant. NATO was formed, North Atlantic Treaty Organization was formed to prevent further westward expansion of the Soviet bloc countries. After the Soviets, with the collusion of the communist spies in FDR's department, State Department, foreign departments, they took most of Eastern Europe. And communism is international, right? So you've got Nazism, which is national socialism, which is socialism on the basis of a race that is defined by nationalism. And then you have communism, which is international socialism, which is socialism based upon class that is expansionist in nature. So given that Sovietism was expanding, NATO was formed as an alliance against the Soviet Empire, the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Not against Russia. Not against Russia as a country, not against Russia as a monarchy or a czarism, but against Russia as a communist-run, hyper-internationally expanding dictatorship. So in the 90s, when communism fell and Eastern Europe was liberated, there was no need for NATO, because Russia was no longer expansionist. In fact, Russia had contracted massively by giving up, returning to Russia from the USSR, which included, of course, the Eastern European countries. Now, Russia was still troubled by the fact that there was NATO, even though they had overthrown or communism had fallen, then they'd returned to religious Russian Orthodox Christian roots, which the Christianity that had survived throughout the 70-year hellscape of communism. And so Russia said, okay, we don't like the NATO thing, but let's at least have a guarantee that NATO is not going to expand eastward towards Russia. And in the early 90s, I think it was 93 in specific, the NATO countries all solemnly vowed to Russia that they weren't going to set 1 foot, 1 inch eastward towards Russia. Russia, of course, has been repeatedly invaded by European countries. You think of Napoleon in particular, and you think of Hitler and Nazism in the 1940s in particular. And every time Russia is invaded by the Western powers, it is horrendous on the right. Like tens and tens of millions of Russians just get slaughtered. And they have to poison their wells, and they have to slaughter their livestock, and they have this scorched earth policy of retreat and let the winter take care of them. And it's unbelievably brutal what happens to Russia when Western Europe invades. Now, what has happened since the early 90s is that NATO has inexorably gone east. And remember, Russia has been repeatedly invaded. Now, Russia is, it's a status country. It's had it's not a virtuous nation. It's not absent the rules of statism and corruption. And I get all of that. So this is not like Russia good, Europe bad, or anything like that. It's simply looking at the value-neutral geopolitics of the region. NATO and the Western powers and America were repeatedly warned not to go east, that to go east toward Russia would provoke a defensive war, or particularly the taking of Crimea, the taking of eastern Ukraine. Do not go east. And Russia said, do not go east. You swore on your grandchildren's lives that you would not come east. Don't do it. That will provoke war, because we cannot have Western powers that have repeatedly invaded our country in the past on our doorstep. Can't do it. I mean, the typical analogy would be, could you imagine if China was in the process, or imagine Russia or China were in the process of annexing Mexico and installing biolabs, bioweapons labs and nuclear weapons in Mexico, what would the American government's response be? Well, we saw that, of course, when it came to Cuba. So everybody knows, and it's not complicated. So they inexorably went eastward. Trump knows all of this. Would Trump have pushed for the inclusion of more eastern countries right up to the Russian border in NATO? He would not. He would not. The relationship between the Russian-speaking citizens of Ukraine and the rest of Ukraine, well, Ukraine is full of Nazis, it's full of communists, it's full of corruption, it's full of American interests, it's full of money laundering, it's a mess. And there was, of course, an overthrow of, I mean, virtual overthrow, it's fairly well acknowledged, fairly well documented in 2014 of the democratically elected Ukrainian government, and they were installed, a new government was installed, which had very little legitimacy with the current population, so they were looking for separatism, they were looking for all of this. So I believe that Trump would not have been pushing for war with Russia, because getting Ukraine into NATO, putting troops on the ground and so on, it's just going to lead, and NATO was heading to include Ukraine in its ranks. Trump wouldn't have been pushing for that. I don't believe that Trump would have looked at what is essentially a regional dispute over there in Ukraine and eastern Ukraine, the Donbass region and so on, where there are many people in Russia who've been kind of brutally oppressed by the Ukrainian government, who want to they speak Russian, they have Russian culture, Russian history, Russian religions, and they want to rejoin Russia and so on. Would that have been something to threaten World War III over? Of course not. And this is, again, I can't read Trump's mind, but I saw how he handled things in the Sudan when I was in politics, and I saw how he handled things with North Korea, and he doesn't go to war over regional disputes that have nothing to do fundamentally with American, any objective American self-interest. Protecting the Bidens, anyway. So, Trump would not have pushed for further eastward expansion, and if eastward expansion had somehow been achieved absent Trump, then he would have sat down, and he is a master negotiator. He would have sat down with the relevant parties, and they would have negotiated. And we know, of course, that Russia and Ukraine were trying to negotiate some kind of end, and the Western powers forbade them from being able to do it in using various incentives and threats to achieve that goal. So they want the war to continue. So that's my basic thinking, that he wouldn't have pushed eastward. If eastwardness had been pushed by Europe, he would have said, okay, good luck, everyone. I'm out. Right, because he already wanted to draw down troops in Europe, and the presence of American troops in Europe has contributed to the migrant crisis, because they have money for social programs, has contributed to massive growth of socialism and the softening of the population, because they don't have to pay for their own defense because of the Americans. So if Trump had backed out of Europe, as he wanted to do, particularly out of Germany, well, would the Europeans have pushed eastward towards Russia if they could not be, if they could not rely upon or depend upon American involvement, American hardware and boots on the ground, it seems? No, of course not. They don't want to pay for it, right? It's a lot more fun to push people around if somebody else does the dirty work, right? So it wouldn't have happened, and Trump would have continued his withdrawal of American troops and support, and he would not have, I don't believe, he would have sent any of this stuff to Europe, and because of that, Europe wouldn't have pushed up against Russia, so... that, and even if all of that had happened, he would have worked to try and negotiate it. I think he would have succeeded. And even if all of that had happened, Europe had continued to push. There had been the invasion of eastern Ukraine, and Trump hadn't been able to do anything. He wouldn't have involved in it. He wouldn't have been involved. He wouldn't have been involved, and the war would have gone a very different path, probably a lot shorter. So, does that, I mean, there's a lot you could say about it. And you can look, FDRpodcast.com, you can look at the history that I've talked about in the Ukraine, a Ukrainian region and so on. Just do a search for Ukraine at fdrpodcast.com. So, all right, any last tips? Come on, that's a pretty good explanation, wouldn't you say? I'm just way into politics. Well, it's not really politics, that's geopolitics. It's a little bit different from electoral politics, but I hope that helps. It's nice to be dipping my foot back into that well, so to speak. So, all right, I will just hang on for a moment. So any other last tips, if you're listening to this later, freedomain.com/donate. I would really, really appreciate your help. You can go to, you can support there, freedomain.locals.com. You can support there. You can also go to subscribestar.com/freedomain. And on Telegram, you can go to @freedomain1_bot. Sorry, I know it's a little awkward. @freedomain1_bot. And I think, you know, I think it's fairly clear the quality that I'm providing and how I dig deep and provide from some hard-earned experience, some wisdom that can help you avoid some of the difficulties that I've gone through and can hopefully get you to a place of love and connection and togetherness and family and beauty. So I will repeat, freedomain.com/donate. Thanks, Steph. Nothing to do with the convo, but dating series would be greatly appreciated. Yes, I will do that. It's on the list after the AI presentation. Late to the party, but I will tip you next time. I appreciate that. Thank you so much, everyone. Have yourselves a wonderful evening. Lots of love. I'll talk to you soon.